Welcome to Sunday.
Wait a second.
What day is it? The date's
wrong. May. Thursday.
What year?
Wait, what?
Hello, you there, boy.
Me, sir?
Yes, you, my good fella. What day is today?
Today?
From NBC News in Washington, the longest-running show in television history. This is Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
Our friend Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, MTP Daily, the Chuck Todd cast, and coming soon, Chuck Todd on Ice, 644. And Chuck Todd, I found out a fun fact about you that I was unaware of.
Okay.
And that is that the Chuck Todd family has roots in Bloomington, Illinois.
Yes, where Mama was born in Bloomington, Illinois, raised in Grundy County, though, Morris, Illinois.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, no, I always say I grew up in Miami, but I was raised Midwestern.
Well, here's the thing: Miami and Bloomington are very similar,
Very similar, as you know. Yeah, Miami Normal, Bloomington Normal, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
You have family there still?
I do not. This is where my grandfather is buried. I have a lot of family buried in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. I have some cousins still in and around Chicago, and plenty of cousins in Chicago.
What was the family business in Bloomington?
It was a men's store called Marvin's. They had a couple of locations, one in Bloomington, one in Morris. My grandfather and two of his brothers basically started it after the war. Grandfather fought in World War II, came back, met my grandmother at a temple social, and the rest is history.
Do we know if he had any game? Did Grandma ever say? Probably.
Actually, my grandfather's brother had game. He got into he played AA baseball. My Uncle Marty played, I think it was AA. Got that far. You know, light stick, good field.
Any reason your Nationals suck?
Yeah, I think what happens is just because you sit next to Joe Madden doesn't mean you are Joe Madden. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. I'm sure Davey Martinez will someday be a great manager.
I'm not so sure.
The Nationals were basically a Ferrari 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And no matter how well you're prepared to drive a car, your first car perhaps ought to not be a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hand. The ownership and the GM doesn't value managers. They think that and they're not the only team, right, that believes that the manager is nothing more than the person that implements your analytic strategy from above. But if you're going to be effective, you better get along with the players.
Right.
And he seems to not be able to get players to hold players accountable. I think he tries to be too well liked. But just because you're liked doesn't mean you're respected. I think that's Davey's problem. I think he's well-liked and not well-respected in that clubhouse.
You know, the car analogy is a good one, and I think we could make a blanket rule for MLB and for all sports. Your first team as a manager or a coach can't be anything more than an 84 Honda Civic.
I think that's right. That's right, which translated into baseball is the Kansas City Royals.
Well, they've become that, haven't they? All right, so a bunch of things to get to here, and the most important and the most concerning is what's going on in Iran. What do you know of what's going on in the White House? Isn't President Trump still in charge? Oh, God, I almost couldn't get the words out of my mouth. Or is the mustache going to get us in the war?
This is it. You know what I love about this, Cochran? This is a case where you're really hoping Trump is in charge on this one.
Isn't that weird? I actually am.
There's a whole bunch of folks going, oh, God, I hope Trump still is in charge. Folks going to war. Look, this is the problem with the Trump White House, is that you do have a bunch of independent operators that move around and maneuver, and Trump lets that happen until all of a sudden he gets cornered into something. And I think Bolton, I think Venezuela has not gone the way Bolton promised, so that already was a problem in the Trump mindset. Trump does not want this idea that he is trying to somehow start a firefight with Iran is just not true. I think people around him are. I think there is certainly And I say people around him, I'm talking about, I also think that the Saudis and UAE and Israel, you know, they wouldn't mind the U.S. Sure. Toughening up and doing this. So I think there's certainly a lot of people that the president considers friendly to him putting a lot of this pressure on. But I think today's the day that sort of you could see that Trump was getting frustrated by all this saber rattling. The guy is not going to go on military adventures. He just isn't. I mean, I think the one he's been consistent on this. He's a very transactional guy. I believe him when he says he wants to negotiate with Iran.
Right.
You know, I think he would sign the same deal that Obama did, but he would call it his deal and say it's better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, some of this is just some of his obsession on the Iran nuclear deal was just because Obama did it. Right. You know, there's always been one of these things. He just wants to put his own name on it. I think Trump is in charge. And I think Bolton's mustache just got trimmed.
Yeah. Well, we don't want war, period, because people are going to die. Having said that, we really don't want war with Iran or North Korea because they really would like to kill us. And Bolton has a certain amount of power, obviously. But does he have the power to create a problem that's going to lead to that?
Well, I think he certainly maneuvered our military resources in such a way that there's more prone for accidental confrontations, right? That the question is, you know, are we going to overread something? You know, will one run in, which does happen semi-frequently out there,
sure,
suddenly escalate faster than it should? But, you know, I don't know. I sort of view today and view Trump's public pushback on both Bolton and Pompeo. I have a feeling we're ratcheting things down pretty quick. Look, Trump is a reelection guy. That's all he cares about, right? He's a reelect. And I think he knows a military adventure in Iran will be unpopular.
Speaking of reelection, farmers coming out in mass now saying they're done. They were bamboozled. They voted for him. He's not standing up for him. He's killing him with his trade war stuff. This is a problem for him.
It could be. I mean, you know, I think that's the question. You know, I'll wait to see if I see it show up in polling. And if we, you know, we hear the same things, we talk to these farmers, they're saying they're upset. But then when you ask them, is it enough for them not to support the president? They're not there yet. So I think he is risking this. I think that just sending a congressional bailout, which is likely going to happen, right, to try to make up for some of the lost revenue, will probably help in about 80% of the cases politically for him. But I do think he's, you know, and he can't afford, you know, when he's putting together a campaign that is totally a base strategy. Well, then if you do that, you can't afford any part of your base to be less than enthused. And if rural Midwest is kept a little more tepid on him this time than they were 4 years ago, that is a problem, right, on the margins. You know, he's still going to win these rural counties with probably 70 to 80% of the vote, but if turnout's a little bit down, if those voters just, you know, some of these farmers stay home as their protest, that to me is what he's got to be concerned about.
Several witnesses to AG Barr telling Nancy Pelosi, Ms. Speaker, did you bring the cuffs? Is this being overread as obnoxious as it is, or is he really that big a jerk?
I think he's that cocky. It's probably the way I would put it. And I think, you know, he really does remind me of sort of Dick Cheney's second run in Washington.
Right.
Right. You had the Secretary of Defense, or I guess you would make it his third run, right? Secretary of Defense Cheney was a guy who played by the rules, sort of, you know, all the stuff. Vice President Cheney was like, I know how this place operates, and I know it a hell of a lot better than everybody else around here. And there was that cocksureness to him, right? And for 5 or 6 years of that administration, you know, it felt like Cheney was the drill sergeant of Washington, and that he was just outmaneuvering anybody. Barr is coming in with that same cockiness. I've done this job before. I know what I'm doing. I'll roll these people. Please, none of this bothers me, blah, blah, blah. And I do think it comes across, you know, I don't think that was a smart move by Barr. I think it comes across the wrong way. And I think he risks, you know, making making this a little more personal, and that's not a good look for anybody. But can I just tell you, I think the Democrats here, I think Nancy Pelosi has lost control of this. I think she's got to figure out, you know, every day it's a spaghetti subpoena wall right now. I'm aware that the White House has successfully stonewalled and has made the Democrats put them into this position. But she needs to figure out how to sort of wrap her arms around this and say, all right, this is, you know, for the next 45 days, I want you to try to get this, this, and this. Our priority subpoenas are this, this, and this. And in 45 days, if we're not getting action, we're opening impeachment hearings. And you just say it.
Yeah.
And you just draw a line, take back control of this. But right now, she's letting 1,000 subpoenas bloom, right? Because politically, she's so nervous about, you know, this. And there's no doubt. And I think the White House has exploited, essentially, her and the entire Democratic Party's hesitance on impeachment, and they know it, and they're daring. They're basically daring the Democrats to do it, or daring the Democrats to back off. I think secretly they just want to. What the White House is hoping for is the Democrats just finally give up on the idea of impeachment. I don't think he wants it, and I think in some ways the whole taunting of them is to almost force the issue and force them to take it off.
Yeah, it's a setup. Listen, you're as good as you've ever been, and Pat Brady is here, and he's a native Bloomingtonian. And Pat, I think maybe...
I know. I ran into some friends of his.
Yeah, Mark Gibson.
And Billy Wauquiez.
Yeah, I've got a Marvin's Leisure suit that I still wear.
It's a hot look for you.
Well, you know, I know your buddy said that Marvin's, you know, he always had the good husky clothes, you know, when he was a kid.
Pat's never been husky in his life.
Can I just tell you, if when you're 5 years old and your grandfather gives you underwear, socks, and a suit for the holidays, you're kind of disappointed you're not fired up about that.
Yeah.
So yes, I still have some Marvin's socks probably somewhere in this house, but it was not my favorite holiday gift as a 5 year old.
Right, as a little kid, sure, absolutely. But Pat, let's see if we can get some work done. You're a very powerful figure. Maybe get Chuck, you know, because Chuck's got a lot of free time. Maybe get Chuck like a big parade in Bloomington where he's the guy.
We got Beer Nuts, Steak and Shake, Adley Stevenson, McLean Stevenson, Chuck Todd.
Take it right down Veterans Parkway.
Right, no, we'll do right down Main Street there where Marvin's.
Oh, right into the city?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chuck Todd.
That was a standalone store. The Bloomington store was the bigger store.
Was it in the town square?
Oh, you're testing me on this.
He didn't drive at five.
I think so. I just remember it was standalone.
Yeah.
The one in Morris was in the downtown next to, if I'm not mistaken.
So, and by the way, if this whole thing doesn't work out at NBC, you could always go back to that check. You know, to kick in the family business.
It was all of my grandfather's brothers. They were all sort of. They came over and they were all tailors at some point.
There you go. There you go. You're the black sheep. You went into politics.
And a big mistake.
Chuck Todd.
Journalism, not politics. Don't associate me with those politicians.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. The coverage of the same.
Yeah, no. I don't want to be associated with them.
Exactly. Whoa. Right. That's completely fair, and I retract it. Meet the press on Sunday. MTP Daily today and the Chuck Toddcast. Thank you, my friend.
Steve, you missed what Nancy Pelosi's response was to William Barr yesterday. According to ABC News, Pelosi said the House Sergeant at Arms was present should an arrest be necessary.
No, good answer.
Yeah.
That's solid.